the idea is that don't be intimidated, just pretend it's not here. We're two things. Number one, we're building a podcast. What's up? Awesome. We're building a podcast so that every class that either Rabbi T or myself or anyone else a part of our kind of education network give, we're recording everything, and everything's going on our podcast. So if anyone wants to hear a class that they weren't at, you could just subscribe to the podcast. It'll get updated every time we have something. And the idea for this is that eventually, every single night, there will be classes here. There's hundreds of teens in Cleveland who want to learn more about Judaism, and there's no reason why we can't offer more. So there's no pressure. You can come every night. You can come every Thursday. You can come whenever you want. Hopefully, we'll always have food. Okay. So tonight, the Thursday class, hopefully, the goal is... Oh, I left my notes at home. Whatever. The goal is that this class on Thursday, the first one that we're going to do is called How to Love Shabbos. And the reason why I... Hey, what's up? The reason why I called it... Can you all hear me, by the way? Okay. The reason why I call this class How to Love Shabbos is because I like making certain presumptions when I'm talking with inspired Jews. The presumption that I'm making now is that I don't need to convince anybody that they want to love Shabbos. Right? It means that we all have an understanding, if you're here, that we love Shabbos. We love Shabbos, we want to love Shabbos, we don't necessarily know how to do it all the way. And any time that we can figure out how to become more connected to Shabbos, we're going to be excited to do that. So this class is going to be dedicated to learn how to do that more and more. And the book that I'm going to use as a guide to talk about this is called Shabbos Kodesh. It's by Rav Pinkus. Rav Pinkus is a deep, deep, deep philosopher. Anyone ever learn anything by Rav Pinkus? He's a deep, deep philosopher, and he has unbelievable ideas. And so we're just going to go chapter by chapter and talk about Shabbos with Rav Pinkus. And he's going to teach us how to love Shabbos. So, the question that I want to ask you guys is, what do you do to get ready for Shabbos? Do you have, like, anything that you do special, a routine, any number of things? Is it just look at your clock and it's Shabbos now, so you change your mindset a little bit? What do you do to get ready for Shabbos?
On my Shabbos
yarmulke. You put on your Shabbos yarmulke. What's your Shabbos yarmulke?
It's the one I got in stock.
What do you wear now?
Just a bar mitzvah.
That's blue or black?
This is blue.
And what's your Shabbos one look like? It's a watermelon?
I wish. It's a gray and has red and blue.
It's beautiful.
It's nice.
So you wear your Shabbos yarmulke on Shabbos. Yeah. Beautiful. Does anybody else do anything for Shabbos?
I have a Shabbos yarmulke too.
You have a Shabbos yarmulke too? So what is it?
I got a nice like gray yarmulke I got in a
very nice. When I was in yeshiva, I had a white knit kippah that I used to wear on Shabbos. But not anymore. My wife nixed the white kippah after a few years. She wasn't a big fan of it. There's a story about a Rebbe. I heard this story many years ago, and I never understood 100% why I liked this story, but something about it touched me. There was a Rebbe that used to sit on Friday, and he had his pipe, and he would smoke his pipe as the sun was setting. And Shabbos was coming, and he would smoke his pipe, puff, 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 right until the last second. And his Talmid would come in and say, Rebbe, it's almost Shabbos, and he would just keep on smoking. The sun was setting. As soon as the sun would set, he put his pipe down, and it would say, now it's Shabbos. As if part of his preparation was that I need to have like a stark difference between when I can do this and when I can't to get him in the right mindset. I don't even know why I like that story so much, but I think one part of that story that I love is that he needed to make a mental shift. So, the first thing that Rav Pinkus writes about over here is that there's something unique about Shabbos. If you talk about all the mitzvahs that we have to do, there's something unique about Shabbos that we talk about it as if it's something to greet. What I'm talking about, we say L'cha Dodi on Friday night, like we're going to meet the Shabbos queen. What is different about Shabbos than all other mitzvahs? That there is this idea that we have to greet it. Ever think about that before? Can you think of anything? Why would, why would Shabbos be unique in that sense that we have to greet us? What do you think?
Any ideas?
I'll ask you another question. I told some of you this, by the way, this is full participation, so anytime anyone wants to throw something in, please do it. There's a story I told some of you guys on TJJ that each day of the week had a partner. Shabbos went to Hashem and said, the first day of the week is married to the fourth day of the week, the second day of the week is married to the fifth day of the week, right? Because on the first day, God made the skies, and on the fourth day, He made the planets. On the second day, He made the seas. On the fifth day, He made the fish. Each day had like a correlating day where He created things that paired together. On the third day, He made land and plants and vegetation. On the sixth day, He made animals and humans. So Shabbos said, what about me? I'm left out. And Hashem said to Shabbos, don't worry, you have the Jewish people. I made you, and the Jewish people will connect to you and keep you and prepare for you. So why do we talk about Shabbos like it's an individual? We have to go greet it. We're married to Shabbos. Right? You know the song we sing Friday night, Eish Eschayil, that the husbands sing for their wives. Josh Jaspin sang it for his Kala Sarah Litsky this Sunday night, or last Sunday night. He sang it to her, right? Yeah? He's a great guy. So we sing that to our wives, but really, the Sfarim teach us that really we're singing it to Shabbos itself. We're singing this song to Shabbos. Why does Shabbos have an identity? So that's the question Rapinka starts with. And one interesting thing he writes here is, when you talk about Shabbos like this, people say, what's Shabbos all about? What is Shabbos? The first shift we have to make to love Shabbos is that what is Shabbos is not even the right question. The right question is, who is Shabbos? Who is Shabbos that we treat it like an individual that we're connected to, that we're married to, that we go out and greet? Hear what I'm saying? Who is Shabbos? Once we understand that Shabbos has an identity, Shabbos has a personality, we start shifting the way we look at it. Before we even answer the question, we've changed the understanding of what Shabbos is. So I want to tell you three halachas. I brought with me a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. This is the concise book of halacha. If you want to know how to keep the laws of Judaism, you start here. All of this is expounded to all these books you see, but it starts here. And there's, you know, there's a lot of rules of Shabbos, right? And we know there's a lot of rules of Shabbos, but really when you go into them in detail, there's a ton of rules of Shabbos. But there's one chapter, chapter 72 in this book, that is dedicated uniquely to the laws of Erev Shabbos. Just the laws of what to do to get ready for Shabbos. So I want to tell you three laws. There is one law that you have to have nice clothing for Shabbos. It's a mitzvah to have nice clothing for Shabbos. So to put on a kippah that says this is my Shabbos kippah, you're fulfilling a mitzvah of getting dressed for Shabbos. If you have a dress or nice clothing that you also wear on other occasions, but even getting into those nice clothing, to dress differently on Shabbos, that's a mitzvah. That's number one. Number two is, there's a mitzvah to anticipate Shabbos. Literally, to wait for Shabbos is a mitzvah. That when Shabbos comes in, Shabbos doesn't just arrive and, oh, it's Shabbos now. But a few minutes or even hours before Shabbos, you're doing something actively to show that you're waiting for Shabbos. It's a mitzvah. The third halacha is, as a Shabbos, it is a mitzvah to literally go out and greet Shabbos, to actively do something to show that you're accepting Shabbos actively. The source for these three mitzvos is the way that the Jewish people accepted the Torah. Hashem told Moshe, when we were accepting the Torah on the mountain of, on the foot of Mount Sinai, He says the Jewish people have to do three things. The Jewish people should put on nice clothing, because I'm about to give them the Torah. They have to wait for me. They have to all go to the mikvah and then have a mindset that I'm coming. And they all have to come out and greet me when I get there. Three halachas. why would we ascribe, I want to hear an answer from you guys now, ready? Why would we ascribe the three mitzvahs of getting ready for Shabbos to the three mitzvahs of when the Jewish people were getting the Torah on Mount Sinai? Why would we connect those two things? What were we really greeting on Mount Sinai? Hashem. How do we know that? What do you mean? Because he was the Torah? Hashem is giving us the Torah. Hashem gave us the Torah. When he said, do these things to greet the Torah, he was saying, I'm coming. Right? You left Egypt, you walked to the mountain, I'm now coming down to give you the Torah. Get ready. When Hashem says, greet Shabbos, get ready for Shabbos, what he's saying is that I'm coming. When Shabbos is here, Hashem is here. It's Hashem's unique time where he gets to live here with us. So there's a great story here, a great explanation of this idea. If it's Pesach, and you would get home, Pesach is in an hour, and you forgot to buy matzah. So you go to your next door neighbor's house, and you knock on the door, and you say, I totally blanked, I forgot matzah. So they say, no problem, every Jew has extra matzah. He gives them extra matzah, he goes home, and he's fine. But is that so nice for Pesach? Imagine how busy you must have been, or how much you had to have not cared to arrive on Pesach and to not have any matzah. So it's embarrassing for him, right? But the matzah doesn't get offended. What if your parents call you and your parents say, hey, I'm coming in next week on Tuesday, 6 o'clock. I'm going to arrive at the train station. And your parents call you at 6:05 and you say, hey, I'm here. Where are you? And you say, oh, I forgot you were coming in today. Was it today? I totally forgot. Listen, just get an Uber and we'll see you when you get here. So the parents get an Uber and they come, they knock on the door, and you yell down to your parents, hey, you know, we're going to have Shabbos dinner soon. Not Tuesday night, they're coming on Friday. So yell down to your parents, just come in, make yourself at home, Shabbos is going to be in an hour, we'll see you at dinner. Can you imagine if this is what Shabbos is like for Hashem? If Hashem comes down on Shabbos, and oh, you arrive at the Friday night dinner with your family. Hashem's not going to feel so welcome, right? Your parents aren't going to feel so welcome. If you loved your parents, you would have put it on your calendar. You would have known they're coming 6 o'clock at the train station. I'm going to be there. Not only am I going to be there, but I'm going to have a sign. Right? I'm going to be dressed nicely. I'm going to bring my kids. If you love your parents, then when they come in, you greet them differently. One of Hashem's names, according to the Zohar, is Shabbos. You're not supposed to say God's name in certain places. You're not supposed to say God's name in a bathroom. You're not supposed to say that there's one opinion, or many opinions, that you're not supposed to say good Shabbos in the bathroom. Because Shabbos is the name of God. Hashem greets us on Shabbos. What have you done to get ready? So I'm in Cleveland right now. My wife is not. My family's in New Jersey. And usually I try to do nice things for my wife every day. I tried to keep a list of things that she needs so that I can do them for her actively. One is because I love her. Another is because I have a bad memory. So she says, clean the litter box, I'll forget. So I've learned that I have to take a list of things that she needs to do and then I do them. Not because the things that she wants me to do aren't important. I have to write a list of everything. I will literally forget to eat breakfast if I don't write down, like, eat breakfast today. So I keep a list of things that Alyssa needs me to do and I do them happily. When she's not here, I do them more. Because she's not in the house to remind me all the time that the things that she needs are important. So I have a massive list right now of the things that I have to do around the house that Alyssa needs me to do because she's not here. I need to make sure I do them. To remind myself that I care, so that she knows that even when she's not around that I still care about her. And every single day that I've been here without her, I've been being very incredibly careful. I've been literally having a checklist for myself, and I have a goal of how many things every day I have to do for my wife that I'm trying to do to make sure that they're getting done, that she knows they're getting done. There's a halacha in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that every single person themselves, even if their wife or their parents are getting ready for Shabbos, and when they arrive at Shabbos, Shabbos is ready for them, there is a halacha that you have to do something yourself. And the Gemara goes through examples. Here are the things that this rabbi did, and this rabbi plucked the chicken, and this rabbi cooked the chicken. I have a list that I keep on my phone. Every single day I have at least 6 things for Shabbos that I have to do all week, and I never do all of them on the same day. On Sunday, I set the candles up, and on Monday, I open the trash bags and I get them ready. And on Tuesday, I prepare a story for my children. Every single day of the week, I don't do this correctly every week, but I aspire to do this. Every single day of the week, I have to do something to get ready for Shabbos. Because if your parents were coming from out of town and you hadn't seen them for a long time, and they were excited to see you, then when they came in, you'd be ready. The table would be set. Everything would be ready because you want your parents to be happy. When Hashem is coming once a week to visit us, you have to be ready. Good question. Why are we not always required to be welcoming Hashem? Because when Titus, who was the Roman emperor, went into the Beis HaMikdash and he took his sword and he stabbed through the parochas, through the curtain inside the Beis HaMikdash. He said, if their God is in here, I will slay him. And he put his sword through the curtain. It says that blood dripped out. Of course, Hashem doesn't have blood. Hashem isn't a human. Hashem doesn't live in the Beis HaMikdash. But blood dripped out. And Tita said, I have killed the Jewish God. So obviously he was wrong. But what happened? What was his blood? So they say that when the Beis HaMikdash was functioning properly, Hashem existed in it. Hashem existed in the world, full display. Everybody saw him and felt him. When the Jews were kicked out of the Beis HaMikdash, and since then, since we were kicked out of Golus and Eretz Yisrael, Hashem's blood dripped down onto the floor. And that's where Hashem lives. Hashem lives on the floor. And we see this. We all know countless people who don't keep Shabbos, who don't keep kosher, who don't learn Torah, who don't care about spirituality, who don't respect their parents, who don't respect themselves. We know countless people who, despite the endless inspiration of Torah wisdom, couldn't care less. Or if they know about it, they still don't care. Hashem does not live in this world right now the way that he should and wants to. On Shabbos, he does. On Shabbos, we have a different elevated opportunity to have 25 hours where we say, I don't care about my job, I don't care about the rest of the world and social media, I don't care about sports. Tell me the score when Shabbos is over. Shabbos is a day where we can say to ourselves, today I'm going to try to care 100%. Today Hashem is coming all the way. And so, if we prepare, we can feel that. I'll tell you another story. Van Halen, you guys know Van Halen? Van Halen is a Halega band. They played wonderful music in the 60s, 70s. They were on the forefront of setting the stage to make an amazing concert. They sold out the whole country. A big rock band would come to a stadium with 3 trucks full of equipment. They arrived at a stadium with 18 trucks of equipment. 18, chai, maybe, I don't know. So they were huge. They also created this thing that now a lot of bands do, that if they arrive at a concert, everything has to be ready to their specifications. They go to the back, they want this many rooms, they want this many colors, they want this many foods, this much alcohol, right? The whole thing was lined out. They had a 291-page contract. If you wanted to host Van Halen, you had to sign a 291-page contract of every detail of how they wanted the stadium to be ready. One of their details was that they wanted M&Ms, and they didn't want any brown ones. So you'd have to pour out M&Ms into these bowls for them and pick out the brown ones. They didn't want any brown M&Ms. Right? Crazy, crazy, crazy details. I mean, this is rock stars, right? This is normal. So the story goes they're in one particular stadium. I forget which one it was. And they go in the back. And they're eating their food and their drinks. And they get to the M&Ms. And they're eating M&Ms. And they find a brown M&M. So his name is also eluding me right now. He's a Jewish name. I don't know if he's Jewish or not, but he's a Jewish name. Somebody in the band gets up. He says, let's go. We're out of here. And they leave the stadium. And they cancel the concert. So they ask him later, really? Brown M&M? How much money was lost? You make your fans miserable. A brown M&M? So they find out later. They go back and they looked at the stadium. And they looked into the preparation that the stadium made. And they found out that all of their equipment, all of their lighting and sound and everything else, 18 trucks, right? More than anybody was used to. The podium, the stage that they had set up, was not set up to their specifications. If they would have put everything on, then according to their studies, in the middle of the concert, it would have collapsed. It would have ruined the show. People could have gotten majorly injured or worse. The reason why he said he put brown M&Ms in the contract is because we're doing things that no one has done before. You need to be ready for us. And if you can't do the brown M&Ms, I don't know what else you missed. No brown M&Ms, I'm out of here. Hashem says to us on Shabbos, you want me in your life? You want to experience Shabbos? You want to feel Shabbos? Better get ready. Better get ready. Don't expect to wake up on Saturday afternoon. Be honest. Don't expect to wake up on Saturday afternoon at 12 o'clock and say, you know what? I'm going to put my phone away now. Don't expect a few hours later to be blown away at how inspirational Shabbos is. It's great. Put your phone down for an hour. But if you really want to feel Shabbos, if you really want to feel Shabbos, you have to prepare way before Shabbos afternoon, way before Friday night. It's Thursday. You got to go lay your clothes out. You got to make sure you're taking a shower early. I saw somebody, this is the first positive thing I've ever seen on Snapchat. I don't have Snapchat. Someone showed this to me. Someone sent out a snap, they call it. Is that, yeah? Someone snapped their friends. Yeah, is that accurate terminology? Someone sent this thing out, and he said, yo, what's up, everyone? I'm doing this thing called Shabbos, so I won't be looking at anything for 24 hours.
Oh, I know. I know you're talking about.
I was blown away.
It was crazy.
That's real preparation, right? Because we know who it was crazy also, right? Real preparation. Read a story beforehand. Learn a little bit about Shabbos. You don't have to do every single day, right? You don't have to do every single day of the week something to get ready for Shabbos, but a little bit. And I will say the following. To the extent that you prepare for Shabbos will be the extent that you love Shabbos this week. That I will say. So, the last thing I want to say, just one little point here that I think is beautiful. And I happen to fall into this by accident. And it's one little example of how we can get ready for Shabbos and how we can experience Shabbos a little more. So I have a journal where I write goals for myself every day. And my practice is that on Friday, my goal is always a goal about Shabbos, about how I want to improve my Shabbos. For many of the past few weeks, not every week, the goal that I've written for Shabbos, because I was trying to figure out, should my goal be like this? A huge, big goal for Shabbos, a little goal. I decided one week that I'm going to write, I'm going to sing a song at every meal, a Zmira, right? I'm going to sing a Shabbos Zmira for each of the three meals of Shabbos. And I wrote that as my goal. One week I wrote, I'm going to sing two songs every meal on Shabbos. And I got into this habit. And I got into this custom for myself at my home of trying to sing more on Shabbos. I don't know why I felt that this was important. Rav Pinkus writes that if you would try to explain to someone who does not know how to experience pain. And you would try to explain to them what it feels like that something hurts right now. There are literally no words that you could use to tell them what pain feels like. If you would try to explain to someone what something tastes like, but they have no taste buds, right? My wife's grandma can't smell. Try to explain to her what smells are with only words. You can't explain it. Some emotions need song. So there's a big thing about bringing Shabbos in on Friday night, L'chadodi, with singing, going to shul, singing at the Shabbos table. If there's only one thing that you do on Shabbos more this week than you did any other week, sit for a minute and sing a song. Make sure you know a song. If you don't know a song, download it before Shabbos. If you want, we can make a WhatsApp group and share some nigunim, right? Hum to yourself. Sing to Hashem a little bit. You will see, and tell me if this works afterwards, or if it doesn't work, and we'll work together on it. See if preparing for a few minutes for the next 24 hours before Shabbos starts will help you love Shabbos tomorrow night. Thank you guys so much for coming. Ma'ariv is in 1 minute, so let's please make our way downstairs. The girls can daven up here, and afterwards there will be chillin'.